You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 112.
Episode 112, John.
No doubt.
And we're doing it on a Tuesday night. We usually do it on a Sunday night, but Sunday, you had, what did you put some lights on some bushes and you had some back issues?
No, that wasn't it. I was raking leaves.
Oh, raking leaves. Okay.
Hey, man, I don't have like a postage stamp yard like you got.
So your back, you rake leaves and your back hurts? Or was it a combination of raking leaves and putting lights on bushes?
Yeah, it was both.
I didn't see the nativity scene out there. What's up with that?
No, I blew it up with some M80s with some of my friends.
So Sunday,
you weren't here.
We rescheduled to this evening, which is a Tuesday night.
No doubt.
And in other big TTN news, we are back in John's home studio.
Yeah.
Which is totally kick-ass. Totally kick-ass,
man.
John.
You like my new paint color?
I love it. It's a much richer the drama that you feel, that you sense when you enter the room is
if you like my torch
really nice.
Lamps.
Yeah, I like those too. Complimentary. There's a lot of symmetry down here.
I think I'm gay. You know?
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean it's
well, you would know.
It is a choice, John.
Yeah, that's right. When did you choose? I'm talking into my beer bottle. Hello.
All right, let's. We have a lot of stuff to cover.
Wow,
John, a lot of stuff.
Oh,
do
we?
Oh, one of the things about
I gotta go to bed.
Being back in the home studio.
Yeah,
is we will be able to carry on the tradition of live performance.
Right.
Hopefully soon. That we started in episode in the 70s, somewhere in the 70s.
Back in the 70s,
maybe it was even in the 60s, I don't know.
What year was that?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
1965.
But
no
it's,
doubt.
It's good to be back in the home studio, much more comfortable. Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
It is for me, anyway. It is for me, because, you know, I'm in sweatpants, I don't have my shoes on.
And when we're done, you just go upstairs and go to bed.
Yeah.
You don't have to get in the car. You don't have to drive home.
Like you.
Like me. That's okay. I don't mind.
That's out of sight.
Out of sight. All right, John, let's start out the show with a TTN correction.
Oh, you know what, though? You can hear my clicking.
Now, wait a minute. Is it really a correction? I can't really remember what's in this clip, but it's something we need to play.
Oh, okay.
To start out the show, because it's from last episode, and we need to clear it up right away.
All right.
So go ahead and play. I think I labeled it TTN correction, but I'm not sure if it's a correction.
I got it.
Go ahead.
Now that we're thousands of miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that Rick bloke.
Yes.
You said that at the time.
Punch that Rick bloke.
No.
You need to punch there, big bloke.
You need to punch that Rick bloke. I'll put money on it. I'll put a Chipotle burrito on it. Come on.
You're on.
You're on, baby. Chipotle. Chipotle. Oh, now I remember. Yeah, I remember what it is. So we bet a burrito on what Paulie B was saying. And you mentioned the forums are back up, John. One of the posts in the forums is from our own Tony Hearn.
Really?
And he says, hey, guys, to settle the argument, Paulie B did indeed say, you need to punch that Rick bloke.
Come on, man. I didn't see it on the forums.
It's on the forums.
You liar.
You need to punch that Rick bloke.
When did he say that?
It was posted Friday, November 23rd at 11:44 a.m. Location, Mansfield, UK.
On our forum?
On our forum.
On our forum.
He goes on to say, also, Scott, when I said like TTN in a good way, I did indeed mean that we weren't just copying it and was comparing it to the greatness of TTN. Need a hug? I'm your man. Tony.
Oh, you fucker.
All right, so that's another burrito I will be
enjoying. No, I owe it to Phil, not you.
Phil?
Yeah, he's the one who picked it up, you dummy.
Picked what up?
That it was Rick Bloke.
I'm the one who made the bet.
Yeah, but you didn't
come
up with it.
I gave all the kudos to Phil.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes, and I agreed with Phil. You disagreed with me and Phil. I made the bet. Therefore, you owe me a burrito.
Where's this fucking forum post?
A burrito.
I don't see it. You're lying.
Keep looking. It's there.
Where?
All right, moving on, John. You owe me a burrito, and that's that. Last week, we talked about when I called in to the Great Mediocre Show.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that I forgot. I had remembered that I had forgotten to bring in
Don't
a clip.
Don't you ever try to correct my grammar again, you moron.
Bring in a clip of Matt as a drummer. Matt replaced Taylor Ramfucker from The Mediocre Show.
Right.
With Eric Tomorrow. And so let's play part two of my phone call into The Mediocre Show and let Matt tell us the record company and the name of the band.
Hey, I got a question for Matt.
What? Yes.
You talked about being on tour.
Yes.
You were a musician. Are you still a musician?
Did you say a magician?
I think I called him a magician.
Have you ever heard me play drums? I haven't. It would be obvious that I've never been a musician. I still have drums. I'm not playing with a band currently.
But you were a drummer.
Yeah.
You were on tour.
I still could play drums for you right now, but I just don't have anybody to play with right now.
And if we wanted to find out some Matt music, where would we find it?
Go to...
Available on the web?
Yeah. Do a Google search for Room 13 Records.
Room 13 Records.
I was in a band called Thumbs Up, which was a...
gay porn band.
Essentially. it was kind of a fast hardcore band. And Room 13 Records put out an EP called We're All Fucked. And because, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking of clever titles. And you can find it there. You can order it. And it can be sent to you.
All right.
That's it, huh? All right.
So Room 13 Records.
Room 13 Records, right?
You could pay for it and order it, I guess. Or you could find their MySpace page. And they have four tracks available. Of which we're going to listen to one of them called The Ballad of Matt. So this is Matt from The Mediocre Show. On drums. Now, play as much as you want, but afterwards I want a full critique from John, the drummer.
Oh, that's not fair.
What do you mean not fair?
Put me on the spot.
Here's what I want to know. Just by listening to his drums, tell me who you think were drummers that inspired a young Matt.
Okay.
His style.
And you have some answers?
No, I have no answers. Oh, I have no idea. All I'm right. putting your drumming knowledge to the test.
Fuck.
Here, just tell me all you can.
What, is this about ripping
after
on me today?
Listening
did I do something
to the
to you?
Clip.
What did I do to you, man?
Nothing.
Why? All right. Hardcore, man.
That's totally hardcore.
Yeah. I have no idea.
None.
What the influence would be. Influence.
Did I hear a polyrhythm
like,
in there?
Sounds like a young skin. No, he did not hear
did
a polyrhythm.
I?
No.
Shows you how much I know about music.
Where would you think the polyrhythm was?
You'd have to go back. I'd have to say right there. Right there.
No.
No? Thought it sped up a little bit.
No, polyrhythm would be like, I don't know if you could hear this.
I see.
You hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Like, what's his name does? Neil Peart.
Neil Peart.
Yeah.
All right, then. So if you want to buy the music, go to Room 13 Records. If you just want to listen to some tracks, Thumbs Up has a MySpace page.
Nice.
And, yeah, I checked out all the tracks, and I was digging them.
This is old school punk, man. This is the shit. Sons of Liberty, stuff like that. That's the shit I like.
Fucking A.
Fucking A, man. I don't have the stamina for this.
Did you ever?
What are you saying?
I'm just asking.
Saying,
I don't know.
Stick?
You know, I've seen you in V show.
I don't understand
when you were in high school.
What's your deal, man? Did I do something to you today?
No, what do you mean?
What did I do?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Do you feel like you're being personally attacked?
Yeah, all of a sudden.
I'm just asking questions.
I don't know. Well, that's how you do it. All right.
All right, man.
What's this junkie man? What's that?
Oh, that's we can probably close the show with that. That's just one of the live tracks we recorded here in the home studio.
Oh, all right.
And if we do carry on the tradition. And hey, if Matt's ever in Chicago, we can get him in on a podcast and do a live jam with him.
Yeah.
Get him on your drums. You'd have to switch to the bass, John.
Right.
And then I'll play guitar and we'll figure something out.
I could play some bass.
But once we get that set up, we got to get Zach back in here.
Zach.
And maybe Phil and Marty.
Right.
Brian Weeder never showed up for...
Phil and Marty.
Yeah.
I thought you said Phil and Marty.
Phil and Marty?
Phil and Marty. Bend
Zach,
over.
What?
Let's Phil and Marty.
And whoever else wants to come in and jam.
Out of sight.
With a John and Scott. And if nobody's here to jam, we jam together.
We jam by ourselves.
Here's what we do. You play drums, I play bass, right? And then
right.
We put it out there and let other people add guitar, vocals, or whatever they want.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Would something just come out of my nose?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in there.
That's the difference now. We're in separate rooms.
We are in separate rooms.
I can't see you.
Moving on, John. Another follow-up. We talked about Chuck Norris a couple of podcasts ago.
Chuck Norris.
Just to refresh your memory, Chuck feels that atheists are on the attack. A number of atheists, 30 million Americans, profess there is no God. Add to that what I believe is possibly three times the number of functional atheists, those who believe in God but practically don't show it, John. And America is facing a new religious horizon in which atheism is becoming a formidable foe. A foe.
A foe.
If you're Chuck Norris. And
so
if
what
you're
is
Christian.
He saying? He's going to beat us up or something?
Well, he went on to say that it's Christians' duty to vote for Christians. It's what our founding fathers wanted. And that hate crime laws will ultimately target fag-hating Christians. The thought that a minister could spew hatred and bigotry backed by Christianity and their religious beliefs, and then one of the followers may kick the shit out of some queer, and now the minister is held responsible for this, quote, hate crime, end quote. I'm paraphrasing the great Chuck Norris.
He's a moron.
He ended by stating, stay tuned when I give the second half of my treaty, How to Outlaw Christianity, Steps 2 and 3, in which I will convey one of the most shocking, despicable, atheistic tactics I have ever seen. All right, so I have in front of me.
This cannot be real.
It is real.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I have in front of me part 2 and part 3. And I can't tell.
Fuck you!
Which he finds as the most shocking, despicable tactic. I have a guess. but I can't tell which one it is. He starts out with a quote by C.S. Lewis, who was a former atheist. And then he says... He wasn't what?
He wasn't a... Was he a former atheist?
It says the former atheist and famous Oxford scholar once said, "Atheism turns out to be too simple. If the whole universe has no meaning, we should never have found out that it has no meaning."
Yeah, but, okay, so what is he saying? That Christianity, he's a Christian, or he just believes in God?
Either one. He's not an atheist anymore. Former atheist. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe he believes in Zeus or Thor. Who knows? I don't know C.S. Lewis. Do you know C.S. Lewis?
I thought an atheist just basically means that your belief is suspended until there's proof.
That's fine.
So apparently something's been proven.
So not necessarily. I mean, that could be a form of atheism. But me, it's just no God. There's no God.
Just no God.
Even though he's on our show.
I think you'd be upset to hear you say that.
There are a myriad, Chuck goes on to say, of eminent scholars who understand the folly of atheism. I will list a few others in the second part of my treatise. To expose atheist agenda to ban Christianity from the courts of culture. Whatever that means. I don't even know what that means.
What's that mean?
I don't know what that means.
It's the war on Christmas.
Step two, John. Step two is to target younger generations with atheism. Now follow me here.
I'm with you.
Actually, follow Chuck. Here's what Chuck says. Atheists are making a concerted effort to win the youth of America and the world. Hundreds of websites and blogs on the internet seek to convince and convert adolescents, endeavoring to remove any residue of theism from the minds and hearts by packaging atheism as the choice of a new generation. While you think your kids are innocently surfing the web, secular progressives are intentionally preying on their innocence and naivete.
Wow.
Is that the biggest load of shit you've ever heard?
Yeah.
Who's naive here, Chuck? Who is being naive? What parent thinks their kid is innocently surfing the web at any time? And if they're on the web, they're not looking at atheist websites. They're looking at porn. Get with it, Chuck.
Wake up.
Wake up, white people.
Wake up.
And... when he says atheists are making this concerted effort, you and I are atheists, John, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get that memo that said, here's what we need to do.
Yeah.
We didn't get that memo. Why not?
I'm saying believe whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, I don't care what you believe. Just
keep it out of the government.
Keep it out of our schools. Yeah. That's all. You want to have your churches? You want to give 10, 15% of your salary?
Go ahead. Have fun. Go for it.
Here's what I think Chuck thinks. Here's what I think, John. Chuck thinks, because he doesn't specifically say.
I don't think he thinks at all.
Is the most shocking, despicable, atheistic tactic that he's ever seen. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Because he starts out by saying, what's preposterous? That's how he starts the paragraph. What's preposterous is that atheists are now advertising and soliciting on websites, particularly created for teens. The London Telegraph noted that groups including Atheists for Human Rights, I think that's a good group, Atheists for Human Rights, and Atheist Alliance International, call 1-866-6-HERETIC, are setting up summer camps and an internet recruiting campaign.
Wow.
That is preposterous to Chuck. But, you know, I question everything I've just stated right now about making a concerted effort to win the youth of America by setting up camps and recruiting young people. Isn't this exactly what Christians do?
Oh, yeah.
But when atheists do it, it's preposterous? I don't follow that. Do you follow that, Jeff?
No.
He goes on to say, YouTube, the most popular video site on the net for young people, is one of their primary avenues for passing off their secularist propaganda. It's propaganda, John. Another,
you got to catapult that.
Antagonistic and self-proclaimed blasphemous site even beckons youth to record their anti-Christian beliefs on it. And this just disgusts Chuck to no end.
Well, which one is it?
Are you ready for step three? Step
yeah,
three,
I'm ready.
Package and promote atheism as reasonable and scientific. Presenting atheism as science, fact might be secularists. Why do I have such trouble with that word? Secularists. Greatest plan. And others point to greatest gullibility in hope of winning the battle for the ultimate view of reality. And hailed as their chief advocate are men like Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins, Oxford University's ethologist and evolutionary biologist, with his new book, The God Delusion, Atheist's Newest Bible or Authoritative Text.
Wow.
Is that what it is, John? I haven't read it yet. Have you read it?
No. Which?
I was in The God Delusion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was an atheist before that. Does it make us a better atheist if we read it? I don't get it. I don't get what Chuck's saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it actually, for a person who is like in between, I think it helps you give you the argument. You know the argument on the God side. I mean, it's in your face all the time. And you don't know the argument on the other side. And for me, like I said, when I was a lot younger, I asked my grandmother the question, why are we Catholic? That's a good question. That's the way I was brought up. I guess there's lots of religions. I don't know. She really didn't have a good answer other than that's the way we were brought up. And in school, I was going to a Catholic school, and some girl got ripped on for wearing a Juana's uniform because they don't believe in the same God that we do.
Who do they believe in? Which God do they believe in? Awanas.
Awanas is Christian. It's a Christian organization, so I don't know what the hell this nun was talking about. That's where why I asked. And I want to know if there was two gods and all this stuff, and I didn't get any satisfactory answers. So ever since then, I've always kind of questioned that. And it wasn't until 9/11 that it just sealed it for me. It just sealed the deal.
Sealed it, huh?
Sealed it.
Well, I was an atheist back in second grade. I remember being ostracized.
For being an atheist?
For saying God doesn't exist.
I used to say that too, but I think in the back of my mind I was like, well, I'm just going to hold out just in case. Remember that discussion we had 20, 30 podcasts ago,
mm-hmm,
where you said that just in case there was a
Lord's Prayer.
A Lord's Prayer.
You could say
it here.
If the apocalypse was happening and you saw Christ ascending from the heavens,
just quickly spit that out.
Right.
And you're set.
And you're saved.
Yeah.
You know, just in case.
That's kind of how I felt for a while. And then, but still, if somebody went gushing on about Jesus and God and all this, I would start saying there is no God, just to get an argument going.
Not an argument, an exchange of ideas.
No, I wanted fisticuffs.
Oh, you wanted physical. You wanted to end with physical.
I wanted to see if somebody would take a shot at me while I was arguing about, and then prove that, hey, what happened to turn the other cheek? Am I supposed to turn the other cheek?
I don't believe in God. Yeah. Don't expect me to turn the other cheek.
So what's your deal, man?
Yeah, what is the deal?
You know, this one black guy came up to me and, you know, we're discussing it. And I said, yeah, I don't believe in God. What do you mean? I go, well, I don't believe in a creator. I mean, I believe in the Big Bang. What do you mean? Well, that's crazy. You can't create nothing from nothing, something from nothing. I said, okay, that's a good point. Then who created God? He always was. So you're giving him a gender. God is a gender.
Yes.
He's a penis. He's a man.
He told us he had one and why he had it.
Oh,
we
right,
know that.
For his trousers.
Yeah. Makes his makes pants his look better.
Trousers look better. Pants.
Whatever. Yeah. Slacks, I believe.
Slacks.
Slacks. When we right. found out God wears slacks.
Right.
Who's his tailor? You think
right.
he has a tailor?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. You're right. How tall is he? How tall is he? Got a little tailor? Are they elves? What are they?
Well, Chuck goes on to say a whole bunch of stuff that I don't even understand at all. I mean, I don't even get his argument. But one thing that he does say is, so what credentials, he's questioning Dawkins, what credentials does a man like Dawkins have to discuss the presence or absence of God? Answer, he's a scientist. And the fact is, anyone in our age who is a naturalist professor or wears a white lab coat can virtually speak upon any issue, even God, and their words are received as gospel, unless, of course, they are a theist.
Oh, he misses the boat, man. That's not the point at all.
That isn't the point at all. Tell him what the point is, John. Tell Chuck Norris what the point is.
It's just another opportunity to, it's an exchange of ideas. It lets us explore the possibilities of something else.
Right on. The exchange of ideas. And John and Scott would never think to ourselves, well, who is Chuck Norris to say all this stuff? Let's see. He was a kung fu guy and he was in movies. We don't care.
He's a genius.
He's exchanging an idea. We happen to be making fun of it.
And he's wrong.
But this is where the true education occurs. But he doesn't want Dawkins to exchange his idea.
No.
He doesn't want us to exchange our ideas.
No.
Not at all. Because if that happens, then a true education happens, and people start to open their eyes, and they fall out of, Christianity falls out of favor in most cases, I would think.
And I don't know where he gets this aggressive, if you read any Jesus teachings, especially, you'll talk to any atheist except for me, they'll probably recite the Bible page for page. And I think Pendulette said he read it like four times.
I've read it twice.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh. I couldn't get into it. It wasn't one of those. It was
Old Testament is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Tough, John.
These and thous.
The one thing that did it for me, that sealed the deal for me, was Kings. There's two chapters, Kings 1 and Kings 2. And all it is God giving the kingdom to one person and telling him, here's the rules. And the person would fuck up.
Yeah.
So he'd have to take it away and give it to another person. Say, here's the rules.
Here's the keys.
And the person
here's
would the fuck rules. Up. And there wasn't just one Kings chapter. There was enough fuck-ups that there were two Kings chapters.
Nice.
And God, in my opinion, from reading it, would get angrier and angrier and more frustrated because these people, they were very simple rules. For instance, if you're going to go to war with somebody, you can rape the women, you could do this, you could do that. Just don't take anything, okay?
Yeah.
Don't do that. So they would go to war, they would rape, kill, and then one of the soldiers in a 10,000-man army would take a couple of blankets. God would get wind of that.
And he'd flip out.
He'd flip out. He'd say, okay, I'm going right to the top. I'm stripping you of your power.
Oh,
I'm giving it to somebody else.
He's going to his boss. God was going to go to his boss.
The guy he put in charge.
Oh.
You see?
I'm going to go to President God.
And hypothetically, if what did I say?
Hypothetically,
if I were to believe in a God,
yeah,
he wouldn't get angry. He wouldn't.
No, why would he?
He would know everything. So why would it anger him if they kept screwing up?
Well, he gave you'll hear the argument. Well, he gave him free will, but he's all knowing. What happened? All knowing, all loving. He's omnipotent. So how is it that he wouldn't know that? Why even bother giving the guy the kingdom? He already
knowing
knew. He's all knowing
that he's going to screw up. Right?
Well,
there's another reason.
that's the parts that kill me. And you're like, well, then whoever wrote this book is stupid.
But God wrote the book, John. All right, now to summarize.
Oh, shit.
What is that?
I forgot to turn the phone off.
To summarize, I'm going to summarize Chuck Part 1, 2, and 3. Chuck advises all theistic patriots to be wise to atheists' overt and covert schemes, exposing their agenda and fighting to lay waste to their plans.
Nice.
To inform his readers of the correct plan of attack, Chuck details the evil atheist conspiracy's 5-year plan. This includes step number 1, outlawing Christianity. And here's how they plan to do it: by causing a goof up at the mint, resulting in God We Trust being accidentally left off some new dollar coins. By joining the Freedom From Religion Foundation and ensuring that the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is correctly applied. By discovering the existence of the non-believing congressman. By forcing Congress to pass a hate crime bill. Step number 2 is targeting children by daring to raise them without religion. By offering a non-religious summer camp for free-thinking kids. By providing an online form to allow teenagers to question faith. And by offering unholy Richard Dawkins link buttons for MySpace pages. And step number 3, by promoting atheism. By purchasing Richard Dawkins' Atheist Bible. By allowing Sam Harris to write letters. By ignoring the science that proves God. I didn't know there's such a thing existed.
I know, yeah, what science?
It's clear Chuck has our number, and we'd all be advised to clear out before we see him coming.
Well, did you hear his thing with Mike Huckabee?
I did hear his thing. One last thing about Chuck before you play this.
You got to give me a signal.
It's hard to give you a signal. I can't see you, but I used to enjoy Chuck Norris in movies. I used to enjoy when I would catch an old Texas Walker, Texas Ranger, whatever the hell that show was. But this guy's stupidity overwhelms me, and I can't watch that shit anymore. That's all I got to say. Right. Let's listen to Mike Huckabee.
Mike Huckabee.
An important policy message from Governor Mike Huckabee.
My plan to secure the border? 2 words. Chuck Norris. Mike Huckabee's a lifelong hunter who'll protect our Second Amendment rights. There's no chin behind Chuck Norris's beard, only another fist. Mike Huckabee wants to put the IRS out of business. When Chuck Norris does a push-up, he isn't lifting himself up. He's pushing the earth down. Mike's a principled, authentic conservative. Chuck Norris doesn't endorse. He tells America how it's going to be.
Chuck Norris is a pussy. I want to fight
Mike Huckabee, and I approve this message. So did Chuck. Chuck Norris approved.
If I was producing that, I'd make him do it over again, because Mike Huckabee's voice cracked. At one part. Sound like he's going through puberty. It's probably when Chuck Norris grabbed his nards, his nads.
Yeah. Chuck Norris. I'll fight him. I want to fight him, Bill O'Reilly, and...
Billo.
And what's that other fat fuck? What's his name?
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh. In a death match. Grudge match.
Like a cage?
Yeah,
in a cage.
Cage. Because I'll fucking bite, scratch, kick in the balls. Chuck ain't so bad.
Nah. Guy's like, what, 80? He's got to be 80.
Yeah, I got a kick-ass spin kick. It's not really high. I'd probably catch in the knee, but it's fast. My cat-like reflexes, I'd fuck some people up, man.
Well, just your hand speed from drumming.
Yeah.
You could do polyrhythms on his face.
Who the fuck said that?
Actually, I'd probably just go. Hello?
Hello. All right.
No doubt.
Turning to celebrity news. We got some sad celebrity news, John.
What?
I don't know if you've heard this, but Kevin Dubrow. Do you know who that is? Kevin Dubrow.
Kevin Dubrow.
You don't know that name?
No.
I guess it's Celebrity B-List.
Ah.
Kevin Dubrow, lead singer for the 1980s heavy metal band Quiet Riot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That scored with the hit Come On, Feel the Noise, was found dead in a Los Angeles home. He was 52.
No.
The cause was not immediately known. A neighbor summoned police and paramedics Sunday to the house where he was pronounced dead. There was no forced entry and no suspicious circumstances were reported. Quiet Riot was perhaps best known for its 83 cover of Come On, Feel the Noise. That was a cover? I thought they wrote that song.
I don't know.
83 cover of Come On, Feel the Noise. The song featuring Dubrow's powerful gravelly voice appeared on the band's album Metal Health.
Right.
And I didn't know this until I read the story, which was the first by a metal band to reach number one on the Billboard chart. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know that. Dubrow recorded his first solo album in 2004, In for the Kill, and the band's last studio CD, Rehab, came out in October 2006.
I saw them at, like, Chances Are in Palatine.
Like, what, 5 years ago? 10 years ago?
No, it was like 12, 15 years ago.
12 for 15 over 12, Biter.
12 for 15 Biter. Yes.
I can't even find words to say, Quiet Riot drummer Frank Benelli wrote on his website. Please respect my privacy as I mourn the passing and honor the memory of my dearest friend, Kevin Dubrow. Determination and the cause of death was pending in an autopsy and toxicology results.
Wow.
And here's the thing, John. First, Kevin the Fish passed away. Now Kevin Dubrow.
Dubrow.
Who's next?
First, it was Kevin the Fish.
Things come in threes. So which Kevin is next?
Yeah.
Which one, John?
I want to know something. I was just, yeah. I don't know why I thought of this, because I was clicking on the TTN correction. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to punch Rick?
Well, I specifically.
Or you need to punch him. Why do you need to
Rick
punch
Bloke.
That Rick Bloke?
I don't know. That's a question we need to put out to the great Pauly B and Tony Hearn of Punky.
If he doesn't like him, he should punch him.
The guy's only like 5'4".
5'4", 80 pounds.
Yeah. Rick's a big guy.
Soaking wet.
Compared to a Pauly B.
Yeah, Rick is pretty solid, man.
Oh. Sounds like you're saying that.
He's got some nice
from
buttocks.
Experience.
Yeah. Don't you remember that time?
No.
No.
Moving on. Tom Cruise, infuriated by fat, bald image leak.
What?
Representatives from Tom Cruise are infuriated. Pictures of the actor appearing as a fat, balding studio executive in his new movie have been leaked on the intranets.
Oh.
Have you seen this picture yet?
No.
You haven't? I have.
Negative.
It's like a shot from the top, and if somebody didn't tell you it was Tom Cruise, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Don't be ridiculous.
So it was leaked on the web. The star is currently filming Ben Stiller comedy Tropic Thunder alongside wife Katie Holmes and the holiday star Jack Black, and is reported to be considering legal action over the shots.
Oh, God.
In a statement, representatives for Cruise said Mr. Cruise's appearance was supposed to be a surprise.
Stop whining.
For his fans worldwide. I think
discipline.
The big surprise was Lions for Lambs or whatever the hell that shitty movie was. That's the big surprise there, Mr. Cruise.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist, because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
Paparazzi have ruined what should have been a fun discovery for moviegoers.
Oh, God.
Cruise's co-star Black is equally upset with the pictures that was leaked to the press. He tells MTV News, I can't believe it got leaked out. Could you tell it was him? He's not going to be very funny in this movie. It was supposed to be a secret. But there it is. Owen Wilson was intentionally earmarked to appear in the project, but was forced to pull out earlier this year. Was that because he tried to commit suicide?
It could be.
So Tom Cruise is making a cameo as a big, fat, bald guy, right? And that's supposed to be funny. It reminds me of whatever Austin Powers movie that was.
Yeah.
Where Tom Cruise portrayed Austin Powers.
Right.
That wasn't funny.
No.
Was that comedy? That's not comedy. I don't know what that is.
Dude, listen.
Right on, Jack Black. That's not comedy. I'll tell you that.
Shut up.
In our last celebrity news.
Shut up.
Actually, he did do comedy.
Who, Cruise?
Yeah.
In Austin Powers.
No. Risky Business. But he wasn't even funny.
He was the straight guy.
He was the straight guy. It was the Booger was the funny one.
Booger, right.
Booger.
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 Who went on to Revenge of the Nerds
right.
fame.
Yeah. Right.
Last celebrity story, John.
Yeah, what do you got?
Shatner. That would be William Shatner.
The
Fumes.
Shat.
Over Star Trek snub. Have you heard about this?
He got snubbed?
Snubbed. Actor William Shatner is furious. Producers of the new
Because you're a bumbling.
Yes.
I am bumbling.
Is he here? Did he join TDN?
I wish I were in a long sea voyage somewhere.
We've got to risk a full power start. The engines were shut off. No time to regenerate. Do you hear me?
No,
we've got to risk a full power start.
Anyway, he's furious. Producers of the new Star Trek movie failed to offer him a role. Shatner, who played Captain James Kirk in the original TV series and movies, is desperate for a part in the new version, directed by J.J. Abrams, and the 76-year-old is stunned. He was not been offered a lead part in the upcoming film. He tells TV's Extra, "How could you not put one of the founding figures in a movie that was being resurrected?
Bone, Scotty, Spock.
That doesn't make good business sense to me.
To me.
I've become even more popular than I was playing Captain Kirk. I'm good box office, and I get publicity, but they're going in a different direction, and it'll be wonderful. No."
Strangely compelling, isn't it?
Here's why he's pissed. Shatner's Star Trek sidekick, Leonard Nimoy, will be the only original cast member
on board
for the prequel. That's why he's so pissed off.
My friend is obviously Chinese.
Wow.
All right, moving on to email.
Those evildoers.
Received several emails about some of the comments I made about Adam Sandler on the last podcast.
Oh, boy.
And admittedly, I think I was a little bit too harsh. I think I said I fucking hate Adam Sandler. And I don't hate Adam Sandler. I don't even know Adam Sandler. I don't like his movies.
No.
Do I hate his movies? Maybe. Some of them.
Punch
I mean,
drunk,
I'm not going to get
punch
those.
Punch Drunk Love was great.
I'm not going to get those 2 hours
movie?
Back. Like the 90 minutes I spent on Billy Madison, I'm not going to get that back.
Oh, quit your crying.
So, Phil, the bass player, was one of the emails, and he offers a movie that is a good Adam Sandler movie called Spanglish. Have you seen Spanglish?
No, I couldn't.
I know that Scott said there aren't any or that he just dislikes Sandler, whatever. This one is pretty touching and cute slash sweet. I have a problem with Phil writing cute slash sweet in an email.
What's that?
It seems.
What's your problem?
It doesn't seem manly to me. It and I'm upset that I have to say cute slash sweet.
Are you a Peter Pepper?
Sandler's character is a father and a critically praised upcoming top chef in the L.A. area. The story revolves around his inner struggles and the strained relationships with his daughter and wife. It's a lovely movie with a somewhat happy ending.
My friend is obviously Chinese.
All right, I'm going to put that in my Netflix queue on Phil's recommendation.
Oh, boy.
Philly cheesesteak. All right, now I got the other... I'm just going to paraphrase a couple of other emails.
You were a psychiatrist once.
Glick07, hate Adam Sandler. You're stupid, is what he said.
He says you're stupid.
Manny Man says the name of the character Adam Sandler played in Billy Madison was Billy Madison. Dumbass. Apparently, I said his character in... in this movie with Cheadle, Rain Over Me,
yeah,
reminded me of the character he played in Billy Madison. So Manny Man felt compelled to tell me that character he played in Billy Madison was indeed Billy Madison.
Wow.
I love the exchange of ideas, don't you, John?
I do.
Now, when I hate, I take that back. I don't hate Adam Sandler. I could, I do see a possibility of me hating some of his movies. I think they're some of the worst things ever put to celluloid. Billy Madison, always.
Madison?
Madison, always in my top five worst movies of all time. But I do believe that Adam Sandler is a talented person, that he has talent. And I don't know him personally. He may be a great guy.
Right.
Or he may be an asshole. I don't know.
The price is wrong, Bob.
I did bring in a clip, though, of what I think. You know, movies come and go. And then there's the classics that stay around forever. You see them over and over.
Right.
I don't think any of Adam Sandler's films meet that criteria. In music, songs come and go, but certain songs you hear over and over again. We're still hearing Mozart 300 years after the guy.
Right.
200 years. Here, I think this song created by Adam Sandler that we're about to play is going to outlive any of his movies.
Any
of them.
Any movie.
And I don't know if you've heard this song, John. Have you heard this song?
I don't know.
Well, let's and cue this up. I gave it to you.
He's done a couple of songs.
Adam Sandler.
Happy Hanukkah.
It's the only MP3 that says Adam Sandler on it.
This is Adam Sandler.
This is an original work by Adam Sandler.
All right.
Put your arms around me, baby. Can't you see I need you so?
Sound familiar?
No.
Stick with it. Stick with it.
Hold me close against your skin. I'm about to begin loving you. Spit on your hand and stroke my cock at a medium pace. Play with my balls and tell me how big they are. Honey, rub your beaver up and down my face. Sit on the corner of the bed and watch me whack off. You see that shampoo bottle now? Stick it up my ass. Push it in and out at a medium pace. Talk about your old boyfriend's dick and how big it was. Now shave off my pubes and punch me in the face. Oh, darling, make me push my dick and balls right between my legs. Ted, call me an ugly woman and take my picture to show all the people.
Anus.
My scrotum and take the shampoo bottle out of my ass.
Where'd you
pretend
get this
I'm
shit?
I'm the pizza delivery guy and watch me whack off. Strap on a dildo and make me give you head. Tell me to slow down and do it at a medium pace.
Do you suck dicks?
Oh, I feel so humiliated. I'm about to blow my load. You tell me it's time to make love, but now I can't, cause I spewed all over myself. When you look into my eyes, and you realize how much I enjoy loving you.
Oh, go!
Whoa. I'm so sorry I spunked on my stomach. Maybe next time I'll be better at loving you.
That was beautiful, man.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That one
That's
song.
That's like Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven for me.
That one song, for me, had more laughs than Adam Sandler's
entire career in movies.
Entire film career.
Yeah.
So he does have some redeeming qualities.
Nice.
From an artistic perspective, in my opinion. So, yes, I take it back. I do not hate Adam Sandler. All right? And I know he played Billy Madison in Billy Madison, okay?
Dumbass.
Manny man.
That's funny.
All right, other email. Let's see.
Now that's funny.
Hey, John and Scott. Jesus Christ, I went to buy a TTN t-shirt for an Xmas present for my roommate, Angel, who is a new fan of yours. Thanks to me talking about you guys nonstop and how much I love your website. I'm sorry, webcast. No link to purchase t-shirts on your website anymore. What happened? Am I too late? Oh, no. How do I get a TTN shirt for my roommate and fellow TTN
fan? Nice going, Scott.
Did I take that off the website? Did it used to be on the website?
Yeah.
And I took it off?
It was on the old website.
Oh, I see. And I revamped the website and it no longer exists.
Right.
But you can go from our website, you can go to our MySpace page and it's available on that page.
I sent
right?
the link.
Well, you sent a link?
Yeah.
So she's taken care of?
Yeah.
Hugs for Scott and a big, huge kiss for John.
Yeah.
Nice.
No doubt, man.
I just get hugs. You get the big kiss.
That's right. I have the better pipes.
Yeah.
I have the big low pipes.
We also got this from Neo Always Drinking. He gave us some science news. But he's our fan from Italy. I heard your last episode, you can't drink beer, but wine is okay. Some of the best Italian wines, especially white, are made in my part of Italy. He owns his own part of Italy.
Sure, yeah.
If you guys ever come over, let me know. I could wine tour you around.
Oh, that's out of sight.
Neo always drinking. Less internet, more Cabernet.
I got my pipes on, my Paul Bryant pipes.
That's outstanding.
I don't even know who the fuck Paul Bryant is. I just like saying that. I've heard the name before, but I have no idea if he actually has.
Yeah, no, he's a radio
voice.
Guy. He sounds just like that. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. I like to do the Paul Bryant.
So Neo also sent us a science story, and that'll get us into science news.
Oh,
science.
Cool.
An eyeful a day keeps the doctor away. Here's Neo's science submission. Staring at a woman's breast is good for men's health and makes them live longer, a new survey reveals. Researchers have discovered that a 10-minute ogle at women's breasts is as healthy as a half an hour in the gym. Can you believe that?
That's bullshit.
A 5-year study of 200 men found that those who enjoyed a long looking at busty beauties had lower blood pressure, less heart disease, and slower pulse rates compared to those who did not get their daily eyeful. Dr. Karen Weatherby, who carried out the German study, wrote in the New England Journal of Medicine, just 10 minutes of staring at the charms of a well-endowed female is roughly equivalent to a 30-minute aerobic workout. I find that hard to believe. Sexual excitement gets the heart pumping and improves blood circulation. There is no question that gazing at breasts makes men healthier. Our study indicates that engaging in this activity a few minutes daily cuts the risk of a stroke and heart attack in half. We believe that by doing so consistently, the average man can extend his life 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
I just don't believe that. Do you believe that?
No, because it's on the Urban Legends website.
<Is it>?
Yeah. Netlore Archive, non-existent medical study touts supposed benefits of men's mammary preoccupations.
Well, thank you, John. You're here to vet the information.
Yeah.
So, Neo, I don't know what to say about that. Neo always drinking. I guess he's always drinking. He can't tell the difference between Urban Legends and real science.
A search of the thousands of international medical journal articles contained in the Medline database turned up 0 items on the topic and 0 items authored by Dr. Karen Weatherby, who presumably does not even exist, Scott.
All right, then. Well,
bummer.
Now, here is something.
But don't tell the ladies that.
This next story is something that was a legitimate science story that I, Scott from TTN, am going to debunk, John.
Yeah.
Debunk. Astronomers may have unwittingly hastened the end of the universe by simply looking at it.
That's right, man.
According to a new reported in the latest edition of New Scientist. And if anybody has a subscription to New Scientist, you need to cancel it right now. Because these people don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I'm no physicist, John.
Oh, okay, Mr. The Earth is Flat.
But I know the basics, okay? And I'm going to tell you the biggest
flaw.
Tell
me the basics.
I'm going to tell you the flaw in this story. They go on and they talk about the Big Bang and 13.7 billion years ago and blah, blah, blah. Then get this statement. For one thing, cosmologists have discovered that the universe is still expanding. They make it sound like this just happened yesterday. This didn't just happen yesterday, John.
13 billion years ago.
So there's a big
that
problem.
That could be yesterday for
there's,
God.
There's a big problem that
Scott.
It's still expanding. Dark energy, goes the thinking, is the result of the Big Bang and is accelerating the universe's expansion. Okay, fine. If so, the universe is not a nice, stable, zero vacuum state, but simply another false vacuum state that may abruptly decay again and with cataclysmic consequences. And that kind of stuff is pretty fascinating. Have you ever read any stuff about that? If the universe started to collapse, what would happen?
We'd start stretching, man. I'd
is that what you
tall
read?
Tall and thin.
I read that time.
No,
was,
I don't know.
Time would continue to go forward, but events would start to reverse themselves. So,
oh.
Like, if you knocked a cup of coffee over, it would. You're familiar with Chaos theory and the theory of entropy, right? The theory of entropy states that things go from an ordered state to a disordered state.
Yeah.
So if the universe started to what's the opposite of expand? Collapse.
Yeah, that's very good.
The laws of entropy would be reversed, and so then you would have order from disorder. So, for instance, if you knocked a cup of coffee off the counter and it broke, and at that moment the universe started collapsing, the cup of coffee would jump back up on the counter and it would reform. But time would continue to move forward. Pretty cool.
It says here in physics, entropy is a measure of the unavailability of a system's energy to do work.
Yeah, whatever. That's the guy who needs to do a PhD in physics. He has to kind of translate it and make it something that nobody can understand.
Right.
My definition of entropy is for the common man, John, because I'm a common broadcaster. All right, moving
on. Spontaneous changes tend to smooth out differences in temperature, pressure, density, and chemical potential. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, that is the wrong thing. All right, so now the energy shift from the decay would destroy everything in the universe. All right, it would, but it would take some time. I mean, it took 13 billion years for the universe to expand. It's not going to collapse in 2 seconds. It's going to take a long time for it to collapse. But once it starts collapsing, interesting things could start to happen.
Right.
So they go on to say, the good news is the longer the universe survives, the better the chance that it will mature into a stable state. We are just beyond the crucial switching point. The bad news is, and here's where the article completely breaks down. The bad news is the quantum effect, a truly weird aspect of physics that says whenever we observe or measure something, we reset its clock. That is the biggest load of shit I have ever heard. That is not what the quantum effect says. And more precisely, the quantum effect applies to quantum mechanics. Things on a subatomic level, John. The universe is not the subatomic level. That's why.
I thought quantum mechanics was a relationship between matter and energy.
It is, but on a subatomic level. We talked about the theory of everything.
Yeah.
That's when you take quantum mechanics on the subatomic level and you the laws of physics apply to things on a large scale. the universe. You see what I'm saying?
No.
That's the theory of everything. You can combine general relativity with quantum mechanics, then you have the theory of everything. So there are two physical systems that operate differently currently in the current thinking of physics. General relativity operates
the big
differently
and the small
than quantum mechanics. So what they're doing is they're taking a first of all, they get it completely wrong. Quantum mechanics does not say that when we observe or measure something, we reset its clock. I don't even know if "we reset its clock" is written anywhere in any physics book in the history of the world. That is so wrong, it's unbelievable. But anyway, what I'm trying to say here, John,
spit it out,
is first of all, they get quantum mechanics wrong, and then they apply quantum mechanics to the universe, which is not governed by those laws. It's governed by general relativity. And that's why people are trying to come up with the general theory, or not the general theory, the theory of everything. The theory of everything would combine all of these systems so that the physics are the same on a large scale and on a small scale.
Right.
And they currently can't do that. So this article is a big load of shit. And if you have a subscription to The New Scientist, you need to cancel it and ask for your money back for that shit reporting. That's all I'm saying.
But it says here that the effects of quantum mechanics are typically not observable on a macroscopic scales, but become evident at the atomic and subatomic level.
Right. Well, if they're not observable, then how do we know they exist? We don't. But what they were trying to say, and they got so fucked up, was that in quantum mechanics, you can't observe something without affecting the outcome of that process.
Oh, so just observing is the effect, affects the, okay.
Right.
But, well, that doesn't make sense.
It's hard. It's a hard concept to grasp.
I looked at it, therefore it's fucked up now, man.
No, it's not fucked up. It's just, for example, you can only measure.
I know, it's saying it could be in the middle of the process, and you look at it, and then it has to start over.
No, that's what these idiots are
saying.
That's
what I'm saying. That's
right,
what
and
they're
that's
saying.
False. That's not even, I don't even know where that concept ever originated.
I don't know. You'll have to. Why don't you email them? Why don't you get in a debate?
Why would I waste my
time? Ask them to call in on the show.
Why would I do that?
I don't know.
So I can educate them? Supposedly they're the new scientists.
Okay, you're a peer. You're trying to be a peer with them.
No, I'm not.
And you're reviewing.
I am not a peer.
You're reviewing their written work. So instead
I'm
of going back.
I'm insulted that you would call me their peer.
You moron. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just fixing the facts.
I'm not fixing the facts. I know what I'm talking about. You be quiet. All right, moving on. Science news. Get this, John. This is funny. Creationists, we've talked about them before. Creationists are violating copyright to promote intelligent design. The Discovery Institute copied Harvard's video, The Inner Life of the Cell, stripped out their copyright notice, credits, and narration, and inserted their own creationist-friendly narration and renamed the video The Cell is an Automated City. The new title subtly suggests a cell is designed rather than evolved. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's great.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes to perpetuate the lie.
To catapult the propaganda.
Right.
Copyright? That doesn't apply to us.
Yeah.
Harvard got it wrong. We were just correcting their mistake, is what they're saying.
Hey, what about evidence for a parallel universe?
What about it?
Didn't you have that story too?
I do, but go ahead. You have it?
I read it today.
I say it's a bunch of crap as well.
Last August, astronomers working on the analysis of data being acquired by NASA's WMAP, Wilkinson Microwave anisotropy probe. Anisotropy probe.
Probe being the key word there, John.
Satellite announced that they found a huge void in Scott's head. A void is a region of space that has much less... No, actually, it was void in the universe. Just kidding.
All right, what is it? A void in my head or a void in the universe?
Shut the universe, ass. God.
Come on, my ass.
What did I say?
I don't know.
For a parallel universe? Did I say evidence for a parallel Scott's brain?
Just go on.
A void is a region of space that has much less material, stars, nebulae, dust, and other material than the average. Since our universe is relatively, Jesus Christ.
Heterogeneous.
like Scott, empty spaces are not rare. But in this case, the enormous magnitude of the hole is way outside the expected range. The hole found in the constellation of Eridanus is about a billion light years across.
Eridanus. Please pronounce
okay,
it correctly.
Tetanus. A billion light years across, which is roughly 10,000 times as large as our galaxy or 400 times the distance of to Andromeda, the closest large galaxy. The dimension of the hole is so big that at first glance, it results impossible to explain under the current cosmological theories, although scientists put forward some explanations based on certain theoretical models that might predict the existence of giant knots in space known as topological defects. That kind of throws your kind of puts a string theory right into the middle of things, doesn't it?
Not at all, John. Why would it put string theory in the middle of things?
Well,
explain
if
that
parallel
to me.
Universes isn't part of the string theory.
Wait a minute. You're making a huge leap. This is the same leap that creationists make when they can't explain something. It must be God. Right here, they say it results impossible to explain under the current cosmological theories. Okay, so it's impossible to explain under the current theories. Therefore, it must be this other theory. Or therefore, it must be a parallel universe.
No, they're not saying that.
That's what you're saying?
No.
Then
I'm
why is it a
possible.
Parallel? Yeah, it's possible.
I'm Galileo, and I'm saying the Earth is round.
It's
and
possible.
And you're telling me it's flat.
No, I'm saying it's,
based
it is
on
possible.
The instruments that you have right now
but
can't
you
be measured, so
it,
therefore it's flat.
You stated
based
it
on my
that
observations,
it was correct.
No,
you
I didn't.
Made that implication.
I did not.
Yes, you did. It could be a parallel universe. It could be God's a-hole, for all
could
we
be.
Know. Who knows what it is?
It does look like a sphincter.
It could be just an empty region of space.
Sure.
That's all it could be.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's great.
So tell me again now, John.
Prove it.
Tell
Prove
me
it.
Again how string theory is right in the middle of all this.
I'm just saying that this was what these scientists are saying.
Oh, okay. So they're scientists. So you believe everything they say. Just because
no,
they
I
say it.
I don't. I'm just reading this article.
A scientist
I don't know why you're getting
comes
so...
out with a study about hey, men looking at breasts,
you're
and
the,
you immediately just
you're
believe
the,
it.
You're the dumbass when I was humming Black Hole Sun. Won't you come? You and Dan jumped down my throat. There's no fucking black hole. There's no proof.
I never said that. You must
are
be confusing
a lying
me
fucking
with somebody
dickhead.
Else. I never.
In my basement. Back on Illinois Street, you fucking jumped down my throat about it. And I said, what are you fucking talking about? Yeah, there's evidence of black hole since 1998.
You're confusing me with somebody else.
This was probably before 1998 when we were discussing this. You are so full of shit.
You're full of
this
shit.
This is before
How
you opened
dare
the,
you? You?
Oh, my
How
God.
How dare you?
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It is.
According to you.
It's the truth.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's all it has to be.
You can't even remember what I said the last podcast, and you're going to tell me a conversation that you remember from 1990?
Only when I'm being attacked. Why would I remember anything else?
It wasn't me who attacked you. Why would I attack you? Go ahead. State what I said back then.
I just said.
What is that?
I was humming along to Black Hole Sun. Soundgarden. Why would I make that up? Why would I just sit
I
here
no
and go,
idea.
Hey, I'm going to make up this story where I was singing Black Hole Sun.
And what did I do?
Won't you come?
What did I do?
You said, there's no fucking black holes. There's no proof that there's a freaking bag hole. Blah, 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 blah. You and Dan. Yeah. Yeah. Stupid fat Morley. Blah.
I never said stupid and fat in the same sentence. That couldn't have been me.
I said, Dan, oh. Are you listening? No, you forgot what I just said. Ass.
Wipe.
It is the truth.
It ain't the truth.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, whatever.
You're the biggest Machiavellian
douchebag
ever met.
Whatever.
Prove right. that I'm lying.
Can we move
Fuck
on
you.
With science news, or do you want to continue?
No.
With this big hole.
Oh, it's cool.
The big hole.
It's cool. Okay, whatever. Earth is flat.
What is that?
Earth it's is you, flat. Man. That you're like the new papacy.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm Galileo. I'm saying the Earth is round. You're saying, no, it's not. It's flat. Because the current, the tools that we have, when we look at the horizon, it shows that the sky meets the ground. Therefore, it's flat.
All I'm
saying. And you'll
saying,
sail right off the edge.
All I'm saying is this big
Burn
hole.
Burn them at the stake.
This big hole they found.
Anybody who subscribes to Science Daily, you should drop your subscription right now. But
actually,
yeah, you don't want to debate the guy at all.
Actually, it was you're new a big scientist.
Pussy.
It was new science. Here's why. If the guy can't even get quantum mechanics right, why do I need to debate him? Huh? Why? If you can't even get your basic facts on the current thought in physics right, what is the point of debating?
Well, I don't know enough about it to sit here and argue that point with you, because all I can say right now is say, okay, well, Scott's got to be right, because he is so hardcore about, damn it, the guy's quantum mechanics, he's got it all wrong, and da-da-da-da. You're doing argument from authority. You're just jamming it in there. I can't sit here and go, well, maybe you're wrong, Scott, because I haven't a clue what the hell you're talking about. But bring somebody on here who does know it and might be able to debate you about it, and maybe we'll have a real discussion about it. Maybe you are wrong about quantum mechanics.
Point well taken. I could be wrong about quantum mechanics, John.
You were wrong about Charlton Heston being Jewish.
Not according to Mike.
Right, that's what I'm talking
right,
about. Argument
right.
from authority. Well, Scott said it, and the way he said it, he's got to be right.
I am very persuasive.
Yes, you are, with your Machiavellian manipulation. Yes, you
yes.
are. I would agree with that. You should be a salesman.
All right, so getting back to the original story, there's a big hole in the universe.
Right.
It
could be anything.
It
Who
could
knows?
Be anything. It could be a parallel universe. It could be, John. Let's even go with that. Hypothetically, let's say it is, even though, in my opinion, the probability of that is very low. If you're up on string theory, which was all based on mathematics. They came up with a mathematical formula. They said, here it is. This does it. And even in string theorists argue amongst themselves. No, there's five dimensions. No, there's 11. But when they plot out the dimensions in these parallel universes, they're on subatomic level.
They're
on a
even
scale.
Smaller.
Even smaller
even
than
smaller.
That.
Smaller. Yeah.
And a grid pattern.
Yeah.
So how does that fit with a parallel universe in the middle of our universe?
Who knows,
it
man.
Doesn't. It doesn't. So mathematically, okay, you could do anything with math. But
well,
now when you apply thought to it.
It's got to be God.
Well, it might be God. It could be Santa Claus. It could be heaven.
Santa Claus.
It could be hell. I think the probability that it's a parallel universe is the same probability that it's heaven.
Well, then you need to explain to our listeners how we can travel back and forth in time.
I don't want to give away all
Mr.
our secrets.
Mr. Smarty Ass.
Because then everyone is going to be doing it.
My friend is obviously Chinese.
Obviously.
All right.
All right. So moving
enough
on.
Enough of that.
I think we've covered enough science news. All right.
No doubt.
On. Bruce Springsteen, John. What do you think about Bruce Springsteen? He's had a long career.
I really don't care for his shit. I don't like his music.
I like some of his early stuff. He lost me with Born in the USA. Was that his big album?
Born you.
Yeah.
And then the dancing in the dark when the video, there was a video making the rounds of him practicing in front of a mirror for his video and all that stuff. But, you know, as an artist, he's been successful. He certainly had a very long career. Which
doesn't
is
he sing a song about cable TV?
Difficult. 57 channels and
nothing's on.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's I never genius. Got that.
That's heterogeneous.
So I like his early stuff, maybe his first or second album. I don't even know what they are. But when I hear the songs, I dig them. Anything after Born in the USA and including Born in the USA, I can't get into it. My wife really enjoys a Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah, I don't like it.
Anyway, Rolling Stone, the November Rolling Stone, has an interview with Bruce Springsteen, and they talk about his new album. So they talk about some of the songs on his new album, and I have no idea what's on his new album. Maybe I've heard the songs on the radio. I don't know. But I'm reading what Bruce Springsteen is saying, and I will convey that here. And I have a lot of respect for a Bruce Springsteen. Let me tell you what he said.
Bruce Springsteen.
They say, so they're asking him about this song, Magic, on his album. And they say, what kind of country we want to live in is a reoccurring theme in this song called Magic. And Bruce says, the song Magic is about living in a time when anything that is true can be made to seem like a lie. And anything that is a lie can made to be seem true. There are people who have taken that as their credo. The classic quote from one of the Bushies in the New York Times. We make our own reality. You guys report it. We make it. I loathe that statement. The unbelievable stupidity and arrogance of it. More than I loathe. Bring it on. And mission accomplished. So Bruce Springsteen there, coming out right against coming right out against the Bushies there, and how he loathes their stupidity. So right there, I'm like, hey, I got to read more of this interview. So they go on to ask him. There's a line at the end of the song about caring only what you fear. You're addressing the politics of fear, aren't you? Yeah. You can't kill your way to security, and you can't lead through scaring people. Maybe you can get people to vote for you sometimes, but it's not a tactic that's going to provide the kind of moral authority and leadership that it's going to take to communicate in the world. It's a coward's way out. So you're saying you can win elections that way, but you can't govern that way. That's right. That's the only card they've played pretty much from day one. If 2004 elections had been held 6 months later, they would have lost. People were still under the spell of 9/11 and the Swift voting. One of the most satisfying moments of the election was Ted Koppel ripping the Swift voters a new asshole on Nightline about a week or so before the election. When he went to the village in Vietnam where the incident occurred and talked to the Vietnamese witnesses, it was right there, but it wasn't enough. And it was too late. The bottom line is, if you're a member of the press and you believe that part of your responsibility is to give people the information they need to protect their freedoms, there's an editorial responsibility. But the ball's been dropped terribly. When somebody's saying you're going to lead with Anna Nicole Smith, you've got to be wondering if you're in the right job. It's become a business, and on what's supposed to be the most credible channels, there's an endless parade of nonsense on a daily basis.
Wow.
And the article's much longer.
It's profound.
It's a lot of wisdom there from a Bruce Springsteen, and it's all summarized very nicely. You know, now this guy, last week we had on Drew Peterson, who goes on the Today Show.
Yeah.
And obviously doesn't give a goddamn thought to what he's going to say.
Right.
But a Bruce Springsteen, he's well prepared for this Rolling Stone interview.
I agree.
And he puts it together. He sums it up nicely. And the interview is much longer than that.
Wow.
But I'll end it there.
Right on. Wow.
Right on, John. Do I have any more? Hold on.
I know.
Oh, that was it. Okay. I got some other politics. You got any politics there, John?
No.
Politics. Did you see this or did you hear this? Gonzalez lambasted at University of Florida. Wasn't the University of Florida where the Tase Me Bro was tasered?
Yeah.
Former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez endured screams of criminal and liar.
Wow.
During a speech at the University of Florida on Monday, about 730 students and community members listened to Gonzalez defend his career as White House counsel and the head of the Justice Department. He also spoke about immigration and terrorism. No one is perfect, he said. What is important is that we identify our mistakes and correct them. Gonzalez's appearance was the first by a high-profile speaker at the university since student was tasered on September 17th. Gonzalez resigned earlier this fall. Yeah, we know all that shit. In the speech, early in the speech, two people climbed on stage in hoods. Gonzalez stopped talking for a few minutes as police led them away without incident, though there were several outbursts from the crowd. The hooded demonstrators were charged with interruption of a public event. Gonzalez repeatedly defended the Bush administration's treatment of foreign prisoners.
Wow.
We don't condone torture, he said. Guess how much he got? Guess how much money he got? I can't believe this.
I don't want to.
It's going to make you sick.
How much?
40 G's.
What a... oh, my God.
40 G's. Somebody said it's I don't even know how to pronounce this word. Abhorrent? Aberrant? Yeah,
abhorrent.
That they would spend that amount of money. This man is a criminal.
Oh, man.
Right on.
I did read something earlier last week that the U.S. military is demanding that thousands of wounded service personnel give back signing bonuses because they're unable to serve out their commitments. Jordan Fox of Pittsburgh was injured by a roadside bomb in Iraq, cutting his service short by 3 months. A few days ago, he received a letter from the military demanding nearly $3,000 of his signing bonus back. How about that?
Yeah, let's support the troops, John, isn't it? Let's support the troops.
And then I heard today Rush Limbaugh talking about somebody called up and asked that he explain the difference between the Vietnam War and the Iraq War. And because this person's sister was doing a paper, a college paper or something, on the difference, and she wanted to use Rush as some sort of to vet this or help explain it. And he came up with well, first of all, the Democrats started the Vietnam War. Nobody in Vietnam attacked us. All they were doing was talking about possibly spreading communism throughout the region. He says the difference is the Iraq War, the terrorists attacked us first. And
oh,
I sat
Jesus
there,
Christ.
Oh my God, what the fuck? This guy is still the terrorist, and then he said it's all about the region, and I really wanted to call in, but you know,
you would never get on.
I'd never get on. But the question I would ask Rush is, okay, if that's the case, that it's a regional thing, it's that region. Why are we not bombing Saudi Arabia?
Because that's the region.
That's the region, and that's where they came from. Osama bin Laden is Saudi. He's not Afghanistan. He's not Afghani.
Well,
he's Saudi.
The question you're asking...
Saudi.
There's a belief system in the question you're asking that this war was for, in Bush's words, the advancement of liberty and the spread of democracy. And everybody knows that's a crock of shit.
Yeah.
This wasn't for that at all. It's for oil. That's
right.
What it's for. It's for Halliburton. It's for these private contractors. It's for buddies of Bush. That's what it's for. It's not about advancing liberty. How could you advance liberty and democracy, like you've said, John, at the barrel of a gun?
At the barrel of a gun.
How does
right.
that? It doesn't happen. It's impossible.
Stick a gun in my face and say, look, you're going to be fucking free whether you like it or not.
Right. That's going to work.
And
dumbasses.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said Sunday that OPEC's members have expressed interest, and this is two Sundays ago, expressed interest in converting their cash reserves into currency other than the depreciating U.S. dollar, which he called a worthless paper.
Who is that?
A worthless piece of paper. Worthless piece of paper. Yeah. His comments at the end of a rare summit of OPEC heads of state expose fissures within the 12-member cartel, especially after U.S. ally Saudi Arabia was reluctant to mention concerns about the falling dollar in the summit's final declaration. The hardline Iranian leader's comments also highlighted the growing challenge that Saudi Arabia, the world's largest oil producer, faces from Iran and its ally Venezuela within the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, which is OPEC. They get our oil to and give us worthless piece of paper, Ahmadinejad told reporters after the close of the summit in the Saudi capital of Riyadh. He blamed U.S. President George W. Bush's policies for the decline of the dollar and its negative effect on other countries. And this guy's a fucking nut job, but it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure out that he's right.
Right on, John. Well, and the thing is, he is a
rocket
nut job,
surgery.
But he's more often right than the W is. I mean, when has the W ever been right? Can you think of a time when he was ever right?
Well, come on.
He's never right. Never. Give me one. When was he right? Okay.
Can't right
we
now.
We can name one time when this nut job was right.
I don't know, man. This is
there's a big Mideast peace talks are going to happen. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
And I read this headline. I wanted to vomit, and I couldn't, so I stuck my finger down my throat. Look at this headline. Bush lends his clout to Mideast peace talks.
Oh, well, yeah, the only clout he has is oil.
What clout is that?
That
what does
Bush.
He have to do with peace at all?
Right.
I mean, he's over there mucking everything up. What does that have to do with peace? A war for peace? He's having a war for peace? Is that what's happening? It says President Bush will lend his clout Monday to help broker an elusive agreement between Israel and Pakistan on the contours of a long-stalled peace talks the two sides expect to relaunch this week at the high-stakes international conference. How does Bush even get invited is what I want to know. Who would even invite this guy?
They want to take a shot at him, man. Get him out in the open. I guess.
This has been a priority of a succession of U.S. presidents, and late in his two-term tenure, Bush has made that long-coveted diplomatic victory his goal. Bush invited the Israeli and Palestinian leaders to separate meetings at the White House on Monday to prepare for the centerpiece of his Mideast gathering, an all-day session. Can you imagine spending a whole goddamn day with that chimp?
I couldn't imagine.
I remain personally committed to implementing my vision of two democratic states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security, Bush said Sunday in a statement on the international gathering that begins on Monday. What a joke.
Hey, check this out. You remember Parabolli busting my balls about my love for Ron Paul.
Was it around the Second Amendment, or was it Ron Paul was the scope of the...
It was pretty much Ron Paul was the scope, but the Second Amendment came about because, Ron Paul is an advocate for concealed carry and the Second Amendment, where Kucinich is against it. He's totally, like, let's get rid of the Second Amendment altogether. Only cops and soldiers can carry guns. And Kucinich just announced that he's thinking about Ron Paul as his running mate.
Really?
Kucinich Paul.
Shouldn't it be Paul Kucinich?
I don't know. I mean, actually, either way, because they're very similar in their what they're running on, because both of them believe in all the whole freedom part of it. The civil liberties part is they're right on target, which is what I like. The part I don't like is the whole socialist side of Kucinich, and the part that I don't like about Ron Paul is the, in Parabole's right on some parts, the total free market economy, because at some point when you have a free market economy, and Rick spoke to this a little bit the other night, especially about letting media outlets buy as much media as they want. So a media outlet buys a newspaper, and they buy radio stations, and they buy TV stations, and then all you get is whatever they want to be fed to the public. And in a way, I thought, well, so what? What's the big deal there? Because at some point, I think people get tired of being force-fed a bunch of stuff, and then they'll switch, and they'll go for what the other guy is force-feeding. And then it'll scare that partisan group like it is with the Chuck Norris.
Yeah, but what if they force-feed the same information so you really don't have a choice? Or what if it's one company that owns all media?
Yeah, there's a risk of the Me Too, you know, just like there is with cars and TVs and all that stuff. You know, you have a choice between televisions. Which one is better? You're combing Consumer Reports to see which one, you know, is the better TV. I don't know. I mean, they're both TVs. It's all about options and features, or with a car or whatever. With media, I think it's similar as well, but yeah, there is that risk. Like you said, maybe they're force feeding the same shit. But you know, if you're given a choice, you know, you got that opportunity of switching to what's the other guy saying. If he's saying the same goddamn thing, what's the point then? How could they actually make money? But then you could also argue just like genres of music. Okay, we got there's an era of the hair bands, right? So then instead of having something new and being a pioneer, you continue to market more and more of the same shit.
Well, I guess excellent point. Where's the money if it's the same message from two different companies? But what if, I forgot what I was going to say. The people controlling
the message,
not the message, but the outlets, the where the message is available.
Yeah,
make the decision. You know, so for example, let's say hypothetically we get into a world where there is only one message from two giant corporations, and a John and Scott want to start their corporation, but these corporations own the outlets that would allow us to present our message. Now we're basically shut out anyway.
Yeah.
But not as long as there's internets, John.
That's right. Until that becomes, what's that, net neutrality? As soon as that gets overthrown and people can, companies or corporations can control the bandwidth and decide what service providers you can use and what sites you can go to.
Well, and even Google and all these other sites to comply with China have figured out how to eliminate things from their search results.
Right.
Form of censorship. So if they get a hold of these companies or, you know, in bed with these companies, then the message is going to be...
Right. It's like what we were talking about last time about Blockbuster and the movie Bad Lieutenant. I had no idea that was edited down. And maybe it was printed on there somewhere on that sleeve they give you that this was an explicit movie and it has been edited down, but very small print. Why would I even look there? You know, I'm assuming And if it's got to get to the point where you shouldn't assume anything anymore and you have to fucking check every goddamn thing to see if you're being lied to and you're not getting the product that you expected, that you got to fucking have a lawsuit every time. I mean, what at one point is the consumer really protected when he has an expectation like I did that I was going to get a movie? And I had no idea that I had not gotten to see the actual unedited version until I talked to somebody about it, although it seemed really stupid what I was watching and thinking, what the fuck, man? There's no continuity in this movie. And then somebody tells me, dude, you saw the wrong movie, man. This is the actual version. And holy shit, I didn't know that I was getting this watered down piece of shit. You know, it's like, I don't know, getting a piece of steak that is actually just a veggie, or getting a hamburger that you think is all beef and it's a veggie burger.
Or it's turkey.
Or a turd burger.
Or buffalo.
Right.
Or ostrich. Some shit
ostrich.
Like that.
Ostrich.
Right on.
And that's probably the argument that I think Paraboli makes, Rick was making last night about the fact that if they do control all that stuff, you don't know if you're getting the, you think, and there's a lot of people out there when they listen to Rush Limbaugh, they think what he says is the truth, man. He's so optimistic. He is right on task with everything.
Well, and that goes back to people's belief systems and how that evolves. And that's, I think, where the future lies is determining how to construct a belief system. And if the government figures it out before you and me, John, we're fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care that somebody has an opinion. I think that's great. But if it ever comes to that point that it's always the same opinion and it's controlled by that media outlet, that I'm going to hire just people that have my opinions in mind. And if they don't say what I want them to say, they're fucking fired, which is exactly what they're allowed to do because they own the company. But I think the forefathers were a lot smarter back then than we are now in saying that, hey, we don't want any corporate interference or government interference in our media, in our press. Because the press is actually what's going to keep everybody honest.
Well, you would hope so. But even there's times that in America, for whatever reason, all these news outlets are in cahoots or whatever, and we don't get the message. And we have to turn to some sort of a UK news organization to get to even hear the story.
Right.
Because they don't even report on it here.
Right.
So it is happening to a small extent already.
Yeah. It is. And I think Bruce Springsteen said it eloquently that they have a responsibility and they're not holding up their end of the responsibility. And just like Rachel Maddow called Chris Matthews a Republican tool, and he got all pissed off about it. You know, I mean,
it's one of the tools Bush was talking about.
Right.
We got the tools. We've implemented the tools.
And you heard Cheney talking about going on Meet the Press and controlling the message.
I heard they had to stick something up Cheney's tetanus to get his heartbeat.
Yeah, they had to zap it. They had to zap the hole in his heart. The black hole.
Black hole sun, John.
Yeah, black hole sun. There's no black hole!
Hey, I didn't tell Phil we were going to be here tonight.
No.
Did you tell him?
No,
How does he know?
I don't know.
All right, maybe it's not Phil. Let me see who it is.
All right.
I got to go upstairs. It's going to take a little longer.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
A little winded?
Oh, yeah, it is Phil.
He's got big ass feet, man.
He's a big dude.
Damn.
Right on.
Sit down, Phil. Jesus Christ.
Gentlemen. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else, John?
No.
Whenever ready to turn it over to Phil.
All right.
Lakers Skulls.
Thank you, John.
It's good to be back at the Hope Studio.
Now, with your award-winning TV.
Sorry, I didn't
news,
mean to talk over your
Phil McCracken.
Oh, that pisses you off. Thank you, John.
It doesn't bother me, man. It's your goddamn intro.
Our first story tonight. Gone are the days when you actually had to go to school to meet older female teachers to have sex with. Now they come to your house. A Van Nuys teacher was arrested on suspicion of having a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old boy. According to police, Meredith Johnson Vincent, 40, was arrested on Thursday at about 3 p.m. Vincent is the teacher of a private homeschooling group. Police say Vincent was allegedly molesting the boy during the past several months. He was part of her homeschooling group, according to police. Next story, John.
Yow.
In related news, sitting in the stands of a high school football game is not illegal in both states, unless, of course, you have already been arrested for allegedly having sex with an underage boy in order to stay away from the lad. Charlene Schmitz, 54, used to teach at Leroy High School in Alabama until she was charged with second-degree rape and second-degree sodomy with a 14-year-old boy. Back in June, since then, Schmitz has been on paid administrative leave while the cops take their time investigating. The only stipulation on her bail was that she stay away from the alleged victim, which she did until last Friday night, when she decided to sit next to the boy at a football game. For violating the judge's orders, Schmitz was promptly rearrested.
Rearrested.
Next story, John. Guy jumps off bridge to prove himself king of Clearwater, Florida. Guy jumps off bridge to prove himself king of Clearwater, Florida. Coronation ceremony postponed until they locate the body. Next story, John.
Yeah.
She-men would not like fries with their shakes. They may have looked like women, but they were no ladies. Police of the Memphis say they're working on a more detailed description of three men as women who came into a McDonald's restaurant with a tire tool and started swinging. Restaurant employee Martiz Briscoe was working the drive-thru window, and he says there was an argument there. Briscoe says when he ignored them tapping at the window, things got strange. Police Lieutenant Trevor Tisby says the cross-dressers came inside and decided they wanted to fight. Witnesses say the men hit the manager with a tire tool, and when he swung back at them, kicked off stiletto boots and pulled off hoop earrings and jackets for a fight. When it was over, the manager was taken to the hospital after being hit in the head with a wet floor sign, and Albert Bolton was bandaged from where he said his attackers used their fingernails to scratch him. Before they drove off, the three attackers smashed the drive-thru window. These three she-men are still at large. Next story, John.
Meow.
In an ironic twist, Kentucky's Creation Museum is evolving. Northern Kentucky's Creation Museum is evolving into a larger facility. The museum will add 663 parking spaces, outdoor canopies, and a maintenance building that will move its main entrance as part of a $500,000 upgrade. The controversial museum, which uses literal interpretations of the Bible to tell the Earth's history, welcomed its 250,000th visitor 5 months after its opening on Memorial Day. The larger-than-expected crowds left the facility with an overflowing parking lot, forcing staff to park miles away. Next story, John. Man gives his life at gun range by inadvertently demonstrating the first rule of safety. Don't load a gun with the safety off, especially while the gun's pointed at your head. Next story, John. Pets provide more comfort than priests. People recently bereaved gain greater comfort from their pets than they do from their priests or spiritual advisors. A new study suggests. The survey found that a third of the people mourning a loved one turned to their family, with a quarter relying on friends and one in five getting support from children. Lower down the list, pets ranked ahead of priests and spiritual advisors, books, films, and professionals. In related news, pets less likely than priests to molest your children.
Oh.
Next story, John. British opera singing Tony Henry. British opera singer Tony Henry has become a Croatian hero for mispronouncing a line in the country's national anthem and accidentally sings, "My dear, my penis is a mountain." In related
That's
news,
great.
Britain has opera singers. Next story, John. 53-year-old woman is suing Starbucks for not giving her a job because she's too old. Starbucks says age isn't a factor. Simply put, she's an asshole. Next story, John.
Wow.
Man wins the admiration of his peers after chugging a quart of vodka. Police in Auburn said the adult who supplied liquor for a weekend party of underage drinkers bowed down in admiration when an 18-year-old man chugged a quart of vodka without stopping. Unfortunately, Adam Beggs passed out and died in a Granite Street apartment where police found his body in a mattress early Saturday morning. While the official cause of death may not be known for weeks, police said they believed that Auburn man succumbed to alcohol poisoning. There's a leap. Next story, John. Good news, if you can call it news. Skydiver sets world record with combined 100-person jump. Bad news, they started with 101. Oops. Next story, John. Next and last story. If you download and are listening to this podcast, take heart. There are 2.6 billion people less fortunate than you are, for they are living without something we take for granted, a toilet.
Oh.
This is according to the World Toilet Association. In other news, there's such a thing as a World Toilet Association. And that's the news, Sean.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, Phil.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Scott. It's good to be back in the whole studio. Hey, I was wondering if I could bring my new girlfriend by sometime. She'd like to watch me work.
Oh, I got some audio of her.
Oh, really? Did I send that audio?
Yeah.
Oh, my little cracker hole.
That's her.
Oh, my little cracker hole. Oh, my little cracker hole.
Wow.
All right, then.
All right. Thanks for coming. Bye.
Thank you, John. Good to see you again, Scott. Good to be back.
All right, wow.
Very upbeat, Phil.
Yeah.
Usually he has
some angry Phil.
Snide comment
yeah.
when he leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, John. Yeah.
All right.
112 comes to a close back in the home studio.
What are we
studio.
Playing here? What do we got here? Whoa.
Oh, this is...
Wow.
When we do get the live stuff set back up, this is a taste of what you may be hearing in the near future. Is this was recorded back in episode 74, I believe.
Wow.
This is when Phil and Marty graced us with their presence. The common man doesn't suffer
me like this. That's you singing, man.
And that's you playing drums.
Yeah. All right, that's all we got. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 112. We're out of here.
Oh, and Phil... Oh. Also sings on this song. I forgot that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, then. Later.
All right, later.